You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has called us into discipleship. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it used to be a thing for a little while in our culture that watching poker on TV was fun. I don't know what happened to that. It seems like it was a phase, and we sort of got over it, sort of like goth. And we were like, okay, like that's done. We're done watching poker, and now if you just watch any sporting event, it's just, you know, hammering you with ads for gambling on your phone. So maybe we've just replaced it with that. But there's, if you remember, maybe that sort of little moment, or if you know anything about poker, there is sort of this big deal moment in the poker game. And that big deal moment is when somebody feels like they have a hand that is unbeatable. Or at least they want to bluff about having a hand that is unbeatable. And at that point, they will take all of their chips, all of those little tokens that represent money, and they will take those things and they'll push them all into the center of the table and say, "I'm all in." Well, that moment is a moment that we see happening here in this gospel reading. We see that moment happening, I think, probably first and most obviously with Matthew. Now, Matthew is in an interesting spot. Matthew is a tax collector in Judea. And the whole deal with that is that Matthew is, he's sort of a snitch. He's not anybody that you would really like to hang around if you were in Judea at the time. So the way that things went is that Rome, the occupying power in Judea, said, well, all of you Israelites, you're going to pay us money because, well, you get us as your overlords. This was sort of like, the school bully says, "I want your lunch money." And not only was the school bully saying that he wanted your lunch money, but instead the school bully sort of hired somebody that knew you to collect the lunch money. Because Rome could have put its own tax collectors, its own, sort of Italian guys into Judea as tax collectors, right? They, like, all of the Roman soldiers were probably Roman citizens, and so you had that kind of thing happen. But they figured out that it was better, it was easier, it was more effective that if they could find somebody in the province that they were occupying, that person was a better tax collector because they actually kind of knew the people. And so if you had Luigi, the Roman tax collector, there, and he didn't know your family, he didn't know your people, well, he wouldn't know exactly, well, maybe how much to tax you. But if he could find somebody like Matthew, somebody who grew up in the community, somebody who knew the people in the community, well, he would end up being a better tax collector because, well, he would know what to charge you. And on top of that, Matthew got a cut. Matthew got to say, sort of like service master, there's a service charge here. There's a convenience fee of having me in your area so that I can tell what taxes you owe. You also, on top of that, get to pay me a little bit extra. Now, for all of those reasons, Matthew is not liked, but Matthew is also doing pretty well for himself. Matthew may not have a lot of friends, but Matthew's got a lot that he can put on the table. And so Jesus walks by, and Jesus says this weird thing to a guy who's considered to be a traitor in his own country. Jesus says, "Hey, follow me." And in that moment, Matthew does sort of the unthinkable. Matthew presses everything in to the center of the table. He says, "Okay, I'll follow you." Now, that's a big risk for Matthew. It's a big risk for Matthew in all sorts of ways. Not only is he risking this cushy job that he has that is able to provide for his needs and more, but he's also walking into pretty strange territory for a tax collector. I mean, after all, he is following into the train of a Jewish rabbi, the same folks that were probably on every Saturday morning telling their synagogues that the tax collectors are bad people and you should stay away from them, and they will possibly even make you unclean. For Matthew to take that risk is, well, it's pretty big. So we have this sort of sense of, wow, that's some discipleship. And I think that we look at Matthew mostly when we think about that word, discipleship. You know, I think sometimes that when we as Christians hear somebody talking about discipleship, we go, "Oh no, here it comes. All of the stuff that I'm supposed to do." Because a lot of times that's what discipleship means. Hey, you need to be a better disciple. You need to be a more dialed in disciple. You need to do all of this stuff. And maybe that's not untrue for you. I mean, the word disciple is an interesting word. The word disciple is mathetes in Greek. It means somebody who learns. And so at its root word, the question that we need to always be asking ourselves as disciples of Jesus is, am I learning something? Am I learning something about Jesus? And we can learn things about Jesus in all sorts of different ways. We can learn things about Jesus by reading the Gospels. We can learn things about Jesus by helping our neighbor, because that's what Jesus did. We can learn things about Jesus by following in his footsteps and doing some of the things that he did. We can learn things about Jesus in all of those ways and more. And the question that we probably need to keep asking ourselves is not, am I doing enough? But the question is, am I learning something? Am I learning something about Jesus right now? And if I'm in this spot where my learning about Jesus is sort of stagnant, well, that's where my discipleship is at. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you just need to do more and do more and do more. It just means that you've got to find a hunger inside of you of what you can learn. And surely that must have been a piece of what Matthew was feeling when Jesus said to him, "Hey, follow me." You know, we don't get what Matthew's inner dialogue is there. But I wonder if some of the inner dialogue was, "I wonder where this is going to take me. I wonder what I'm going to learn. I wonder what's going to happen through the process of my following this rabbi. Well, that's mostly how we look at this story, in the lens of our own discipleship, and our own discipleship being something that we kind of hear Matthew push all of his chips to the table, and, well, we feel like, well, maybe we need to do a little bit more of that ourselves, to risk a little bit more in order to learn something. But the other thing that's very present in all of these readings, but especially the gospel reading, it's, well, Jesus is risking some stuff here too. And Jesus is going to this guy who's a sinner. He's a traitor. He's everything that Jesus should not want in a disciple. And we see that risk at work right after Jesus calls Matthew to be a disciple. Jesus is like, hey, Matthew, follow me, buddy. And then Matthew starts following him. And maybe internally or externally, we don't really know, Matthew's next question is, follow you where? And Jesus says to him, dinner. And Matthew is like, cool. Cool on a couple of levels. A, cool because dinner is good. Also cool because, well, the people that you have at your table during Jesus' time and during Matthew's time are kind of like a very distinct idea of who you are in the ecosystem of the social surroundings that you have. That was all a lot of words for saying, think high school lunch. You know, the nerds sit with the nerds, the jocks sit with the jocks, the weirdos with the weirdos, the theater kids with the weirdos. That was me. And you have that sort of like, oh, okay, well, who you are is dependent on who you eat with. And so Jesus, this rabbi, well, he's bringing Matthew along, and so apparently Matthew gets a few plus ones, or Jesus has invited other sinners and tax collectors to hang out with him and to have dinner, and all of a sudden you see the risk that Jesus is taking, because the Pharisees come up, not to Jesus, mind you, they're sneaky, they come up to his disciples, his mathetes, the guys that are taking a risk on Jesus, the guys that are saying, all right, I'll follow you. All right, I'll learn from you, even if it means sitting with these guys. Are you sure, Jesus? But okay, I'll follow you. They go to him and they're like, why is your rabbi doing that? Why is he eating with them? And Jesus, of course, overhears it. And in that moment, Jesus shows us that he is all in. Jesus says, it's not the righteous that I came for, but the sinners. He harkens back to that Hosea reading. He shows us that what God really wants, what our discipleship should be about, and certainly what he is modeling for us, is to come into our world and to have mercy and to have compassion and to have love, even for the wrong people. Even for the people that we might disagree with, even with the people that we might not like on a personal level, even with the people that we might consider to be traitors, even with all of the people that might look like Matthew in our lives, that God has said that that is what it means for us to be his disciples, is to follow him. Because after all, that's what Jesus does for us. He comes into our lives. And when the world and when the religious people and when the non-religious people and when anybody points their finger at us and says to God, why are you hanging out with him? God says, because I came to save sinners. Because I came into this world to love people who needed me to forgive their sins. So that those same sinners could be my mathetes, could be my disciples, could receive my forgiveness, my love, my mercy, and being filled up with that, turn around to a world that is so lacking in mercy and compassion and love, and show God's love to those people as we try to do as he did. So we're going to talk for a few more weeks about what it means to be a disciple. But the definition that you should probably keep in your head for all of these weeks is that what it means to be a disciple is that you are somebody for whom God is all in. Amen. Please rise as we continue with the hymn of the day.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.